Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV for Hap-Ups. My name is Mike Bloom. We are bringing it to the runway, bringing it to the runway, bringing it to the runway, runway, as we talk about this top four queens go to still a top four queens? Question mark, surprise, non-elimination episode as we go into the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. But of course, I am not alone. I am joined by my super squad of RuPaul's Drag Race super fans. First, here is someone who will always play the Tonya Harding role, especially when interacting with his fellow LFC members. It's Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how you doing?
I'm doing great. There were so many supers in that introduction. I was like, what am I? Like, Superman, super gay, super extra.
you're just super. Thank you for asking. And we're also joined by someone who is about to star in Seduction 2 Electric Boogaloo herself, Liana Boris. Liana, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just hoping that I will never be the Nancy Kerrigan in this situation, but
I don't know. Nancy Kerrigan's on the upswing. She was just on Dancing with the Stars. You know, it might be her year once again.
As long as no one's Jeff Galooly, I think we'll be okay.
So, as I mentioned at the top of this podcast, we got our top four. We got, you know, the usual requisite penultimate episode with doing the whole round robin of speaking on a podcast, doing an original rap verse, because it seems like we're getting into that territory now after All Stars 2, a performance, a final look on the runway. Only to find out at the very end, nobody is going home. We are going into the finale with four queens still in contention. Now, I know we usually go chronologically through the episode, but I really want to start with this big piece of news, because this is probably in a season that was fraught with surprises in a variety of ways, this is probably one of the biggest surprises that we have seen in the show so far. Liana, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, so of course, at first I'm like, ugh, non-elimination episodes are just the worst, because like, who cares? But this, especially in this episode, you know, we had dismissed Peppermint as kind of being, we thought she was going to be the fourth place queen, or go out fourth, but like, oh my goodness, they all turned it out so strongly, and I was so emotionally moved by this episode, and I'm actually happy, I guess, that all four are able to go to the finale, because I think they're so fierce and absolutely deserve it.
Well, I will say that the show certainly presented it as though they were certainly fierce and wonderful. I think that there was a way that RuPaul could have eliminated one or two of these queens if she were inclined to do so, but obviously she wasn't for some reason, or that maybe she just likes them so much. I mean, I will say going into this episode, we all assumed, as Liana noted, that Peppermint was most likely to be eliminated. However, her rapping was really good, mm-hmm. and I loved her performance. Her runway, we'll talk about. So if there was a way for RuPaul to eliminate her if she wanted to, she obviously didn't want to, and that's where we stand today. And for what it's worth, I'm fine with four of them going. I just wish it had happened a little bit sooner, because I still am bummed about Chi-Chi Devane finishing in fourth place. And if this would have happened, then that would have been great.
Yeah, it's interesting because much like in Survivor, for instance, before the final three was instituted, you could say like, oh, I wish this person had gotten into the top three. And you're sort of seeing it there, just like you said, Brent, of, you know, oh, it would have been nice for Chi-Chi Devane to make their way into the finals, for instance. But I do agree that, you know, Peppermint, again, was definitely coming in as the number four seed into this episode. But I sort of alluded to this at the end of the previous podcast about how she happened to get a challenge that was really in her wheelhouse. She's going to say during the process of writing the rap, like, oh, yeah, I just have an album out on iTunes. She doesn't plug it as much as RuPaul does, but still, that's something, not something to sneeze at. And so she was definitely the most comfortable in there. That being said, I don't know. I don't want to say that like the penultimate episode can sometimes be kind of a crapshoot, But how do you guys feel about the idea that in episodes past, granted, now that this is sort of taking on a new format, it might take on a new meaning, but it feels like when we've had this sort of rigmarole to do in previous episodes, it's not necessarily the performance in that episode as much as it's sort of just looking back on their entire journey and figuring out a final three based on that. Brent, do you agree?
I agree with that. In fact, I'm thinking about, was it Kennedy Davenport who finished in fourth place as mm-hmm. well, I want to say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still can't tell you how that happened. I really don't. I don't know how she finished in fourth place in that episode. I remember RuPaul calling her name and eliminating her, but I don't remember what she did in that episode that warranted being eliminated in fourth place, except for the fact that maybe of the four of them, she had the weakest resume going into the final four. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, maybe the show has gotten a bit stale. Maybe they were trying to change it up. I do agree that, you know, here's the thing. Watching this episode, it was completely evident to me, and I'm sure it was to many of the viewers, that we were probably going to get a non-elimination because I wasn't seeing any criticism anywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody was just, oh, everybody's fabulous and look how wonderful they are. And, you know, the only little bit we got was of Trinity, you know, failing in her rapping. And that was only initially. She, you know, she eventually got it together and put on a really hot performance. So, I felt like I sniffed this out.
Well, I think the like the decision that Rue makes is, I agree, based on all of the previous competitions and all of their previous wins and all their resume and all that stuff. I think, though, in this circumstance, you know, Rue makes the decision and I think gets emotionally invested in these queens. I mean, we see how she treats Nina Bonina Brown, and I think that Rue just loves these four queens and I think really wanted them to all go on, and I don't think that she could see cutting one of them. So I think that's part of the reason, just because Rue is so invested.
Well, I think we'll definitely talk near the end of this podcast as we sort of look ahead to the finale. And I also want to say right at the top here, it looks like there was a little bit of a scheduling difference than from what we initially estimated as of last week. It appears that they are doing a reunited show next week, where before the finale, the queens are going to get together to sort of discuss how the season went. The week after, June 23rd, is going to be the airing of the finale. So that being said, even though next episode should be a lot of fun, even though because there's really nothing going on in terms of competition, we will not be covering that episode. If there are things that were talked about that are fun to discuss, we'll be talking about them in 2 weeks as we do our final Drag Race podcast of season 9. I just wanted to set that up for those of you that might be, you know, thirsty for it in your feeds next week. Unfortunately, you'll have to stay parched for a little while longer, but we'll be back in 2 weeks to cover the ultimate episode. And I'm sure we'll talk at the end about sizing up this finale and seeing that even though we have four queens in at the end, is it really a four-way race? You know, is there someone who got lucky sort of in it being a non-elimination? But that being said, let's get into the episode proper. We talked about Alexis Michelle in so many ways, but I just want to give her one more shout out because in her mirror message, she does quote Into the Woods, which is my favorite musical. So she got on my good side last second. But we do get, you know, as you said, Brent, even though it seemed like it was a very positive episode overall, you know, both the judges and the queens were just so happy to be there, which was so nice. We got a little bit of Shay thrown in this pre-credits stinger about, you know, Shay talking about how she's won four challenges and it cuts to Trinity. And Peppermint is making very vague threats towards her other queens. Liana, as you were sizing up these queens as they were in the beginning of this episode, was there anyone you felt like in particular, from the edit perspective, might have taken the fall here? Had you not known it was a non-elimination?
I mean, I guess I probably would have said Trinity, again, based on just like some of her negative edits, but it was so funny because Sasha was throwing so much shade at everybody. First of all, saying that, oh, I love Alexis, but it was her time to go. And then against Shay, at least I had a rainbow look. Oh my gosh. If there was a competition, I definitely thought Sasha would have won just because of how like crazy she was being, and I loved it. But yeah, I could have seen Trinity going. Sorry.
Can we talk about that really quickly? Because that's interesting that you bring that up, because I was going to bring that up too. The fact that Sasha threw shade at Shay about her rainbow dress. First of all, I don't know if any of you watch Raja and Raven on WOW Presents, the fashion photo review, mm-hmm. where they review, they toot and boot the looks from the previous episode. And they were talking about this dress. And they have still pictures of the dress, not video, as, you know, walking on the runway like we see them. that dress was really a lot more rainbow than I gave it credit for. I mean, the lights really effed with it. It really did. I'm telling you what, when I watched it on the show and we were talking on this podcast, it was like Pastel City, okay? I looked at a still picture of that under normal lighting, and it was actually closer to rainbow than I initially gave it credit for. I was actually astounded. So my apologies to Shea Coulee, who I'm sure has seen it all over Twitter, people saying, hey, you know, we saw this picture and it really was rainbow, or at least more rainbow than what we thought it was. It still wasn't like, you know, primary colors, for heaven's sake, but it was it wasn't as bad as I initially thought it was. And so I wanted to give it up to her, and also throw a little shade on how bad the lighting has been this season on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have Raven and Delta work doing the lights as well as RuPaul's hair and makeup. But I don't know. They might be a little short-staffed for season 9. Maybe we have this grand theory that when they brought Lady Gaga on, they sort of had to cut a bunch of other things budget-wise. But maybe they need to bring on a new lighting designer for season 10.
Well, it's so funny because apparently, you know, RuPaul lost her makeup guy. I forget his name, but she's been with him forever. And then, you know, Lucian Piani, who does all of the jingles and the production numbers and everything, he's off the show now. And that's why they basically, like, they were like, okay, queens, you're going to have to write your verse yourself this time because we don't have anybody to do it for you. So,
well, so, speaking of Lucian Piani, because this is, again, is sort of like a good spot for him in terms of creating music, as we talked about before. Their final challenge is to write and record an original verse for the remix of Category Is. And again, this is very comparable to the challenge we had in All Stars 2. It seems like we've really departed from doing a music video. Instead, it's now more so of a live performance, which I'm personally happy about. You know, drag performers are live performers, so I think it's good to unlock that part, especially considering that someone like Sasha Velour, who we have not yet seen do a lip sync, will actually get to see her lip sync a couple times in this episode. So I was happy to just see, you know, fill in a little bit more about how what Sasha's sort of toolbox is like in that regard. They're going to be learning some choreography from Todrick Hall, and they're going to be performing it ultimately on the main stage at the same time. They'll also be guesting on the What's the Tea podcast with Michelle and Rue. I feel like we can sort of yada yada through these segments and get to obviously the main stage stuff itself. But Liana, do you have any noteworthy things from this time in either on the podcast or in the room with Todrick and Rue's producer? What was his name? Thuan Allure?
I want to talk about Shay's shirt. Did y'all notice that? It looked like a picnic blanket with like eyeballs stuck on it.
Yeah, it was a plaid shirt with one big eyeball stuck onto it. I feel like I've seen that earlier on in this season, but I can't remember from where for the life of me.
I think so too, and I think I called it out then. I just want to say that is the ugliest effing shirt I have ever seen, and I want to burn it.
But what do you say to her face?
Oh, that was a choice.
You're that girl. I knew you were.
You're that girl. I knew you were. Yes, exactly. Oh my god.
Yeah,
gosh.
I don't really care much about the podcast anyway. I miss the dinners with the tic tac lunch.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to know where that went. And the lighting designer. I know where it went because the lighting got the tic tac exactly. I know where it went. RuPaul wants to hawk everything that RuPaul's doing. So instead of doing a nice dinner and being elegant about it, she's got to hawk her podcast with Michelle Visage, even though they never really talk about anything. It's just them coming on saying, hi, how you doing? Oh, hey, what's okay? Okay, bye, girl, bye.
And talking about squatty potties.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of hawking things, I should bring up Nature Box as a sponsor of RHAP. No, that's interesting. I wonder if they ever do have an RHAP-affiliated reality show. Would Rob just, like, bring out Denny's meals or dogs walked by wag walkers? I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I guess, I mean, it's become part and parcel with the podcast game these days to have sponsors, so I guess they had to utilize it. So before we get to the main stage, we can probably talk a little bit about choreography, because I will say, as much as we might have maligned Todrick Hall for being a little blasé during All Stars 2, I feel like he's really come into his own as a guest judge, more of a sporadic guest judge, especially in the recording booth. And again, maybe it's because it's his wheelhouse that he felt like he could be, you know, more critical and doing the choreography as well. But this feels like a Todrick Hall that we had not seen last summer on Drag Race. Brent, do you agree?
Yes, I do. And here's the thing. I think it actually helped that he had previously been a judge on this season, because he walked into those recording sessions. It felt like he knew the girls. Like, I thought for a second maybe he knew them from back home, but it was really from just before when he was a judge previously this season. It was a really fun time. He let his guard down. He was relaxed, and that's Todrick when he's at his best, when he feels really comfortable. He's at his worst when he is uptight and clenching everything and really trying to impress RuPaul. The fact that RuPaul was not in the room during any of these recording sessions.
Squatty potty.
Yeah, I know, yeah, right?
That's why he was utilizing Ru's merchandising.
Yeah, the fact that Ru wasn't there, I think, was a big plus for Todrick.
I think part of it too is the fact that it was that when he was judging on the All-Stars season, didn't he know the queens from before? Like, he had interacted with them and like performed with some of them and stuff.
I'm sure, because again, those were notable names going in, so I think it would make sense for him to interact.
He was really awful then. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think he definitely has come into his own and being able to give criticism, because that was like his biggest thing on All-Stars too, was that he never criticized anybody, and so for him to really give like really strong direction and to actually be funny about it, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm happy if he sort of has arisen into the Lucian Piane spot of, you know, musical correspondent. I feel like great on him, and I hope to see him in future seasons as well, especially if he's bringing as much shade or, you know, criticism in this episode as he did here. But let's get to the main stage, because I really want to break down this category is rap. Now, the only thing that we can really compare it against is the infamous Read You, Wrote You from All-Stars 2. This might be a little bit of apples and oranges and bananas, if you will, but Liana, overall as a product, which one did you like more?
Oh, Read You, Wrote You. I'm obsessed. Okay, that's hard for me because I can't even tell you how many times I have listened to that song. The version without the Roxy Andrews verse just goes.
The version without the Roxy Andrews, the one with the version of Tatiana's same parts
I love that one. I also listened to that on repeat. But anyway, I liked it though. I actually think that this is better than doing the music video. The music videos were always fun, but I think this really challenges them to be creative, write their own verse, perform their own verse, do the choreography. I think that it tests so many different things and so many things that I want to see in the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I think doing this type of challenge is a really good move moving forward.
I totally agree. See, drag queens don't do videos. That nobody goes to see a drag queen to pose for a video. People go to see drag queens in the club and doing a show or on stage. Everything they did during this whole performance was everything that you're going to be required to do as a professional drag queen. If you're America's Next Drag Superstar, you're going to have to come out and hit your mark. You're going to have to lip sync. You're going to have to dance while you're doing it. You're going to have other people working around you. You're going to have to go on even when you make a mistake. And I feel like all of them did that really, really well. And it was, I love this infinitely more than a music video. I can't tell you how much, because I really feel like we get to see more of who they are as drag queens, not just people on a reality TV show.
I'd agree with that, and especially because the verses are also, as you said, they had to write them themselves, so they're very individualized, and I feel like that was one of the hardest things for the queens from the get-go, except for maybe Peppermint, was thinking like, okay, how do I represent my brand in the course of a rap verse, or a spoken word verse, as Sasha May put it, and that's so much fun to watch, because again, it really is sort of like an I am statement on behalf of the queens, which again is much more indicative of who they are than saying like, okay, you're gonna lip sync to RuPaul's song and pretend to be, you know, big people stomping around a city like they were in season 4. So I'm totally happy if they keep going down that road, you know, whether or not they're good at it or not. I will say, going back to the question that I asked Liana, personally, I think I liked Read You, Wrote You more too. I still loved the heck out of this, and we're going to talk about how much enjoyable this really is from all queens' perspective. I thought all four of them absolutely killed it, but there's just something about how fierce Alaska Detox and Katya were in their verses, and added on top of that was just how much of an unintentionally hilarious verse Roxy Andrews's was, just made for a really like compendium of hilarity and fierceness over the course of that song.
By the way, I just want to say that there's a Valentina sighting, but it's actually Valentino, one of the backup dancers who was like the hottest guy there. He seriously was. His name is Valentino, and I thought somebody was pulling my leg when they posted this, but they're not. His name is actually Valentino. So you guys, what, we missed out on Valentina and Valentino performing together. Yes. And I found, by the way, I totally trolled his Instagram. And if anybody has nudies of him, please tweet me. Okay, bye.
Did you reach out to Valentino and say, can you please post with taking your filter off? And then he posts back and says, I'd like to keep it on, please.
I'd like to keep it on, please. Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes. I have a... I can't tell you that. Never mind. I was gonna tell you something, but it's because they taped the finale, and I heard a joke that somebody said walking into the finale, and I was gonna tell you, but they might put it on the show, so I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah, let's not ruin ours and the listeners' fun as well. But let's get down to brass tacks here. I want to talk about each of these queens. We can sort of pile them all together if you want to, between their performance in the rap, between their final runway look. I believe the final four. Runway theme is Final Four Eleganza Extravaganza. You can incorporate anything that they said about in the podcast or any difficulties or triumphs they might have doing choreography as well. It's an all-in-one type of analysis. But let's start with someone who, as we mentioned before, was definitely someone whom we thought wouldn't end up on the podium coming into this episode. And she was able to make it through because she destroyed this challenge, in my opinion. Let's talk about Peppermint. Liana, how do you think Peppermint did over the course of this episode?
Well, so I'm of two minds because one, the reason why I picked her is because of her performance and or performance ability. And she is, like Michelle Visage says, so charismatic and just pulls me in. And I love her and I just want to root for her. And she is amazing. But then I kind of go back and I like look at her purple corset thing and the weird like white hip flares. I'm like, ooh, this is like not so polished. Like, you're gorgeous. And I think she's so good, but I still do understand, oh right, there's a reason why we thought she was in fourth.
I have to say though, her performance in this challenge just overshadowed all of that. I mean, I actually just rewatched it right now as we're getting ready to talk about it, and the amount of pizzazz that she had on the stage while she was doing this, while she was lip syncing to her own words that she wrote, she kept up with everything. The look on her face throughout the entire number, I mean, she just brings the house down. I mean, all of them did really, really well, but I thought she did the best. I thought she was so there. And what Carson said really struck me, which was, you know, there are all these hot boys, and I'm like Carson, I'm like, oh, a hot boy, oh, abs, you know, I like that. But I still found myself looking at Peppermint the entire time, not because the show was making me, even in the wide shots, I was still looking at Peppermint because she was so funny and she demanded my attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of stomping, but I did love it. Oh my gosh. And the line when she spells her name and then's like, bitch, you know the rest. I was like,
yes, I love
slang.
That.
Yeah, when you don't have a short name like Detox, it's a hard time to spell it. I have to dedicate a lot of lines to it. Brent, did you have any thoughts about Peppermint's final look, the Eleganza Extravaganza?
Boot.
You didn't like it?
Sorry. What, you did?
Yeah.
What are you...
That's what I'm saying. I just love her. The necklace and earrings didn't match, and it was just, oh my gosh. I loved it.
It just was weird. Okay, this is supposed to be your best drag. I don't care what RuPaul is calling it, Mike. The Final Four Eleganza. Give me a break. It's your best drag. You can wear whatever you want for this challenge, okay? And look, she's going for volume, and she wants it to be big. And I appreciate that because I felt like a few of them were a little bit small for me. Hello, Sasha Velour. Hello, Shea Coulee. But I still did not like it because it was ill-fitting. The top was not very close to her body. If you look at the blousing part of it, it seemed to like come away. And also the way it fit her, it was almost like it was for a taller person because the waist was almost at her boobs. It does not look like it is supposed to be meant to be that way. So I just found it to be like, what was the point of this? And also, I must clock the wig. Girl, we've seen that wig. You wore that wig in the roast challenge, and now you're bringing it back out again. So I have to boot it. I mean, this is just, this was not her best drag. It's your best drag, and you're showing me a wig that we've seen before and a hoop skirt that doesn't have a hoop that just, it just was awkward to me. So, Liana, please tell me why you like this, because I cannot see it.
I think for me, it was just the fact, and I get you what you're saying with the volume, and I think that's probably why I liked it so much. I'll gag over any hoop skirt ever. So first of all, I loved that. I get, and this is the thing, Brent, like when I look at it in more detail, like I'm literally looking at a picture right now and I can see those flaws. But when she came out on that runway, it was just this big ass dress. She looked gorgeous. And I was just so moved by it. And yeah, I mean, now looking at it, I'm like, first of all, the like stoning that she did, which stoning is for pretty girls because she's gorgeous. It doesn't look great. The yellow color, I'm not crazy about. I totally see what you get, like what you're saying about the waist, the hoop skirt. Even looks like there's two of them and they're like stacked and the second one like kind of sticks out. Like, I get it. I see that. But when she came out, don't even care. I was gagging.
What I will say about Peppermint's final look here is that it does feel very different from what we've seen prior from her. And it's interesting because, you know, we've gotten a lot of comments, especially in the beginning of this season, about how she needs to focus on her details. From what you were pointing out, Brent, she wasn't necessarily improving on that aspect, but maybe she was sort of showing versatility. And you know what? It was a form of pink in that it was red, but it was not pink, which is good. She's able to stray to other sides of that color spectrum. But I feel like any misgivings that I might have about the dress was, you know, completely swallowed by her performance. Both the writing of the rap and the performance of the rap were incredible. I think the order in which they went is really interesting as well. You know, bookending it with Peppermint and Shay, who are probably both the most comfortable in this type of musical environment, whereas, you know, we'll see on the runway, they go in alphabetical order instead. And I think they, you know, they made it clear why they started with Peppermint is because she's supremely confident in this realm. And it shows. Her lyrics are just fantastic. They're super simple, you know, sassy, but never shady, classy, but I can still take it to the streets. There were some parts where I couldn't necessarily hear what she was saying when she was going down, like Sasha reads books, you know, Shay's got looks. It's not as bad as some of the other queens, but like you pointed out before, when she was spelling out her name, like what a badass way to end that verse. And the choreography as well, from the beginning with Todrick, you knew that she had ownership of it. And she, you know, while it might have been limited, you know, obviously these queens are wearing tighter fitting outfits and heels, so they can't exactly do what they might be able to do otherwise. But she was just so precise and she was so purposeful with these movements that it just came across so energetic and so confident. So I feel like, you know, I don't know if Rue came in here thinking like, okay, we need a top four, but I feel like if not, Peppermint got a challenge that she would have excelled in, and she really showed why she would deserve to make it to the final episode, because she put on, in my opinion, like the performance of these four queens in that rap.
Yeah, she put on a show. I mean, like, you know, you got your money's worth with Peppermint, so I get why she's moving on. I totally do.
All right, let's move on to number two in the lineup, Sasha Velour. Liana, what did you think about Sasha's performance in category is and also her final look on the runway?
Well, so of course, you know, she said herself and Shay talks about it that she doesn't dance. And so this is a dance performance girl. So I was a little worried, but she's so on brand. And they've said this before and I'm saying it now, but even her physical, like her body movements during the performance, she was dancing, but she was somehow she physically embodied her brand. I don't even know how to explain it, but it just seems that with her kind of blocky like crown claw things that she does, I mean, all of that speaks to her and who she is and what her drag is. And so I thought that she really conveyed that. And again, you know, her lyrics, the fuck with gender, bend the rules, don't surrender, all of that really spoke to who she is as a person. And so I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what about you?
Well, I will say that the performance itself seemed a lot more like blocking to me than dancing. And maybe that was Todrick helping her out, because I know initially he was like, okay, you know, Sasha, we're going to go like 1, 2, 3, 4, cha, 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 cha. And she was like, who? Like, it was like Scooby-Doo, you know? And so maybe he altered it a little bit, or maybe she just sort of dumbed it down a little by moving to the next chair every time that the beat changed. It didn't seem to me like it was as enthralling as Peppermint. Mm-hmm. It seemed more like gosh, how do I want to say? Like I said, it seems like it was blocked well for her, and that's about it. And even when she was on top of the guys or they were lifting her up, it didn't even seem like it was together. And I don't know if maybe that was more a reflection of the dancers and not her, but I felt like hers was less polished. And her runway, I thought, was just abysmal. I thought it was terrible. I really don't know what she was thinking. I understand that the crown is her brand and she wants to be on brand. Fine. First of all, the crown looks really flimsy. It looks like it's made out of paper mache, and not even good paper mache. Paper mache after you left it outside in the rain, okay?
Did Nina make the crown for her then, considering how her bunny look ended up being?
That's what it looks like. I mean, look at it. It looks like she just cut it out, like yesterday. Like, it really does. And the fact that she has this big flower, but the flower is the exact same color of the dress and the crown, it's just... it's a lot of one color. It's very same to me. I don't even think it fits well. And the only positive thing I can say about it is the interesting makeup with the use of the blue around the inside of the eye. Mm-hmm. And thank God she didn't do that unibrow that she had at the beginning, because she talks about that in Untucked. Look, I get Sasha's drag. I really do. And I do think there's a place for her in this competition. She has this sort of, here's the thing about Sasha. Her kind of drag is, she's what Milk was supposed to be, I feel like. She's what Milk wanted to be, but Milk wasn't, to be blunt, and I hate this word, but I'm going to say it, fishy enough. And I feel like Sasha is fishy enough to get away with this gender fuck kind of drag, and that is a valid form of drag, but that doesn't mean that this is her best drag. I mean, this was supposed to be Final Four, and you're giving me, I mean, it just looks very simple, and I don't see a lot of wow there.
I think I could go back and pick five or six looks that she did previously that I thought were better. Because, again, yeah. I totally get what you're saying. Like, she does a crown. She wants to, again, like, do the whole on-brand thing. But even her color-blocking look from last week, I feel like, was more, you know, even sans the house was more on, you know, on-brand. And she definitely borrowed this look from Peppermint, because that is a lot of pink.
And I also hate the length of the dress. I want their dresses to hit the knee or hit the floor. The fact that it hits her at her ankles, I feel like, is just a bad look.
Well, technically speaking, Brent, Sasha did hit the floor at the end of the song. So does that count?
Yeah, I guess. Sorry, I don't mean to be a negative Nelly. I know Sasha has a lot of fans out there. And I think sometimes, perhaps in the past, I'll say this. It took me a while to warm up to her, because I'm a yes queen, okay? And I like my queens to be, you know, really fishy and really gorgeous. That's why I was gaga over Valentina. So it took me a while to, like, sort of wrap my head around the fact that, you know, Sasha has a valid form of drag. It's exciting. And what she said at the end about the future of drag may not always be self-evident in the present, basically she said something like that, really, that grabbed me, and I was like, it challenged me about what I think of her drag. Having said all that, I still think this dress sucks.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, though, because I know you're talking about yes queens, but Sasha is more of like a queen, right? It's sort of like you need to, like, take things in. Like, we were sort of talking about this last week with, like, oh, now that we're re-looking at her, we, like, see new things about the outfit. And so I don't think that Sasha's aesthetic is ever about, like, you take in the first initial scene thing. It's all about, like, deep analysis, whatever that may mean.
Well, let's challenge that for a second, because I know that she says that, but I've listened to the patrons in the Rob as a patron group, and there's a lot of people that are really kind of over her kind of intellectual view of drag and how she says she deconstructs everything, when really she's kind of wearing a shabby gown that doesn't fit well, that doesn't have the right length, with some gloves that look like she's washing some dishes, and a crown that looks kind of droopy. So from their point of view, they're like, well, what is intellectual about this? And I know that there's people listening to this podcast right now going, yes, queen, when I just said that. So I agree. Like I said, there's a place for her drag, and I find it interesting. And I will say that by the end of this episode, I felt like there was a way she could win, when I had not previously thought that, based on what she said to RuPaul, because it really grabbed me, and I know it grabbed RuPaul and the judges. But I just... But I just wasn't into this. And again, I agree with some of the patrons who say that her view of drag is a little bit nauseating, because it comes off a bit condescending to say, well, I'm deconstructing everything. Well, I'm an intellectual queen. And I know she doesn't mean it that way, but that's how it comes off sometimes. And I wish sometimes she would just give me a little bit of sameness with what other quote unquote normal drag queens do.
Well, let me be clear that, like, I'm probably the biggest Sasha fan amongst the three of us, and I'm totally in agreement with you and the patrons that, you know, and I about how constantly going back to seems like every episode with her being like, I'm too intellectual, I don't know if I can do this challenge, and then she ends up doing pretty well. Right. I agree. I think it's a tough well to go back to, because it also kind of puts you at arm's length, at gloves length from the rest of your queens, saying like, I'm doing things differently. I'm doing something that's more heady. And as a result, that can definitely come across as alienating to the viewers. So I totally understand that.
Yes, alienated to the viewers too, because the viewers are like, well, I don't like this, but am I a bad person because I don't like this?
You know, exactly.
And how should I feel about that?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because I kind of feel like my opinion on her has now flipped. I definitely started that way when she, you know, I first like read her first interviews and like saw her, I was like, oh, you're intellectual. Okay. Like, take a step back. No one likes you. And then as I watched her and as I got to know her, then that was when she grew on me. So it's funny that there are a lot of people who are now kind of over it. Whereas I feel like I was over it in the beginning, but now, have really grown to appreciate her drag. I mean, again, still pink dress, ugly. I get it. But in general,
well, I definitely think she's the most polarizing queen left, just because, as you sort of said, Brent, it's sort of an aesthetic where either you really want to buy into it or you're saying like, you're acting a little too snobby for me. You know, give me some more stuff of like what Shay and Trinity are giving. Going back to the matter at hand, I do agree about the final look definitely was not the best, especially compared to the two of the three things she was putting out in the previous episode, which I think is just a much better representation of her aesthetic in general. This did feel a little bit like, okay, that's what you're going to end with, you know? And I guess like the pink, I guess, is sort of a bookend. Let's remember that she wore the big pink twisto on her head during her photo shoot. So I guess it's connecting in that regard. But I did want something more from that, but almost sort of like peppermint. That was overshadowed by me, for me, with this performance. I do agree that, like, it's very clear that she's not a dancer. And once you do that 8 count at the very end, you know, the choreography that Todrick gave her was very different from what she ended up doing, whether or not she ended up, like, dumbing it down or whether or not she just didn't really get the arm movements that were going on. She was still hitting those points, but what really sold it to me is the performance. And it's, again, it's based in that persona and in that brand. She's got the claws out. She's giving these crazy eyes and snarled teeth. She's really selling it with her face, especially the chair stuff as well. And Liana, I know you pointed out the lyrics as well, you know, all this stuff about stranger than fiction, better than art. It's just these like really interesting sort of heady lyrics. I ended up watching this like 5 times because I enjoyed it so much over the course of my first viewing, but the lyrics were so interesting. It goes back to, you know, the CLAT song that she put out with the other queens, where her verse was one of my favorite as well, just because, you know, it was very on brand, but it was also something that I was not necessarily think I would be hearing in, you know, a big rap song related to RuPaul. But I totally agree with you, Brent. I think we're going to get later to, you know, these responses to talking to your childhood self and also why do you deserve to be America's Next Drag Superstar. But there was something about that idea of like the future of drag is not necessarily what you're experiencing right now. And I might be a harbinger of that. That's something really interesting that she keyed on.
Yes, I agree. And that's the one thing I took away from this episode that I kept repeating to myself, because I feel like there are times in my life where I have identified with that sentiment that, you know, maybe I'm ahead of my time, maybe I'm an old soul sort of thing. And when she said that, I really bought into it. So she had a buyer in me.
Mm-hmm. And I will also point out as well, you mentioned it, Brent, but again, I am definitely the person on this panel that does not really make any comments about makeup, just because that is not my wheelhouse. But I did notice the blue, you know, little tinges that she had going on. That it definitely sort of helped have stand out from, you know, her pink outfit on the runway, or even her like Liza Minnelli in cabaret-esque black outfit with the green and the white gloves. So I thought that was like a nice little detail for her to touch on. Let's move on to the other two queens here. I know she went last on the runway, but let's go to Trinity here, since she was the next next one to perform in the category is rap. Trinity was the one other than Sasha that really experienced some trepidation, especially with the choreography. There was a little bit of shade thrown in the workroom to her. They were saying, you know, this really is not something that Trinity's used to. You know, she's not going to do well in it. That being said, Brent, how did you feel and ended up turning out for you?
Could have fooled me. She was great. I mean, really, I mean, I know that she had some problems in the beginning, but again, that's like the first hour of the rehearsal that we're seeing. Of course, you know, they're going to show all the worst parts for her. I don't know. I feel like everything about her was really great. By the way, I got it mixed up. Trinity was the one who was lifted up by the boys. It wasn't Sasha. So I just wanted to make that clear because I'm sure somebody's going to come for me on Twitter about it. But I felt like this outfit, first of all, oh my God, I'm living for this outfit. She's wearing a string on the stage, you guys. How is she doing this? I don't understand. It's like, she's tucked fully, and yet she has what looks to be maybe 2 inches of fabric in her crotchal area. It's just everything that I want in a drag queen. They call her Trinity the Tuck for a reason, man. And then she gets on the back of the boys, and that's where it got a little bit uneven, but I felt like that was more the boys and not her. So I, you know, again, I felt like of the two of them, between her and Sasha, I felt like that Trinity was the better performer, whereas I feel like Sasha just sort of moved to where she was supposed to be. Trinity worked the number and hit the beats. It wasn't like Todrick said, where he said, you know, I felt like I was on a Skype call where, you know, you're getting like you're a half second behind, you know, in the video. By the time she hit the runway, she had it together. And that's what I'm going to judge her for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her rhythm game was not delayed, but I do think that there was something missing for me as far as the performance went. I don't know. So I rewatched it a bunch of times, and I think she was off, like her lip sync was off at one point, and I don't know if that's because of the way. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't just make that up.
I failed to mention that. Her lip sync was about 80%. I'd say there were a couple times where she lost the lip sync because she was concentrating on the performance, but I only noticed it when I went back. I know that RuPaul and Michelle are professionals, and maybe one of them is watching the performance and one of them is watching the lip sync. I have to believe they noticed it, but they didn't say anything.
Yeah. I mean, and there was really no criticism of anybody from the judges at all this episode. So, I mean, that was a thing that like felt a little off for me. And so that kind of threw me out of her performance. But oh my gosh, both of the looks, the look when she performed, I mean, I co-signed everything, Brent. Like, oh my God, how did she do that? I mean, that's amazing. That's just amazing. And then, oh my gosh, when she came out on that runway, my mouth literally fell open. I was stunned. I mean, the hair, once I look at it now, like, yeah, it does look like she fell asleep on the subway, but oh my goodness. I don't know. I thought it was the best look of the night. It was so gorgeous. I was blown away.
Oh yes. Can we talk about this? I am so glad that somebody finally gave me a freaking evening gown. I mean, it's drag queens for a reason. You know, there's always an evening gown competition in like Miss Gay US of A, Miss Gay America. They always do evening gowns or some variation thereof. That's because it's the big moment. It's like the 11 o'clock number. It's the one we all want to see. There's a reason why RuPaul always does like a big ball at the final five or the final four every year, you know? So the fact that Trinity was really the only one who gave me full on evening gown eleganza, I was a bit disappointed for. Like, we're going to get to Shay's look, but I wasn't living for what she was serving there. And of course, you heard my opinion about Sasha and Peppermint. But Trinity was the one who hit it out of the ballpark. I'm glad that she gave us pageant queen bitch face on the runway. And it was just, it gave me life, you guys. It was so great. And the walk, the slowness of it, the way she had her hands, the way she turned her head. I mean, everything about it. And the wig, I thought the hairstyling was so interesting. I know you can make jokes, and Carson did, of course, about, oh, I fell asleep on the bus. I hate it when that happens. But it was not same. It was not something that I'd seen before. It wasn't something that bored me. It was something that grabbed my attention in the best possible way. So, I don't know how many people that she had to, you know, she says she's a whore, so I'm just going to say it. How many people she had to sleep with to buy that gown, but I co-sign it.
How many menses ended up in her bed?
Yes, the menses, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I am in complete agreement. This was a drop dead gorgeous look. And I did not mean to make a reference to the other type of pageant film, but I guess I did in that regard. I mean, this was stunning. And it was also really fantastically representative as well, in that I'm sure we're going to talk about, the show talked especially about Trinity's growth narrative over the course of the season, that she proved that she was not just a pageant queen. But this was sort of a nice way for her to show at the very end, at the end of the day, I'm a pageant queen through and through. Because, I mean, I'm looking through the lookbook right now on the RuPaul's Drag Race wiki. I don't think she's really, like, put out an evening gown type of look. I guess you could argue, like, the Lady Gaga look might be something near it. But, you know, I know people have been complaining about, like, too many swimsuits on Trinity. So to see her really pull out this really decadent gown that still was sort of on brand with Trinity, between it being a pageant look and also it having this, like, nude strip down the middle to be like, nope, I'm still showing some skin in any way, shape, or form, was so glamorous and so much fun to really think about, you know, Trinity's journey that I'm sure we're going to discuss more. It's interesting comparing her with Sasha in the rap for me, because what I will say is I think Sasha had the better rap, but Trinity had the better performance, if that makes sense. Like, I'm looking at the lyrics for Trinity's rap now. And they were fun. I mean, they were just a bunch of jokes about how, you know, she has collagen to the nines and, you know, I've got a lot of plastic parts up in me. I think the diction was a problem. You know, I heard a lot of slurred words. It was tough for me to really discern the lyrics. But like we were talking about, you know, whatever sort of nervousness Trinity had in the recording studio, she brought it out on the runway. She sold whatever gobbledygook was coming out of her mouth. And, you know, her big hurdle, which were these synchronized arm movements, whereas Sasha might not have done so well in that regard, she nailed. So I really have to give her credit in that regard. And yeah, I can't say enough about, like, the landing strip that was her bottom. it's just, again, really on brand for Trinity, even though rapping is not her thing. I think she did a good job here.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have to clock her on one thing. One of her lyrics was, "My name is Trinity." I'm sorry. Yeah. If you're going to say "my name is" in a rap song, like, no, like, go rewrite that verse.
I mean, she was one step away from saying "my name is Trinity and I'm here to say." So exactly. At least she didn't avoid the back half of that trap.
Oh, my goodness.
I was living for Mike, your drop dead gorgeous quote. I was thinking of, was it Delta Work or Delta Burke? Yeah, Delta Burke is in that show? I forget. I know she is.
Delta Burke's in Designing Women.
Oh, but who? Like, there was somebody who I remember Kirstie, the quote.
Kirstie Alley was like the main antagonist of Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes, Kirstie Alley. Sorry. Oh my God, I mixed up Delta Burke and Kirstie Alley. I mixed the two of them up. Oh my God. Well, they both did gain weight at the end of their series. So there's that. No, it's American Teen Princesses Do Not Cross Their Legs Like Streetwalkers. Hello, Miss Penthouse 98. Close your legs. I could drive a boat show through you. Like, I love that quote from that
such
gut
a
show.
Freaking
so
good
great.
Movie.
Oh my God.
Such a good movie.
Yes, all right, Mike, I love you for that.
Let's get to the last batter up here. Let's get to Miss Shea Coulee. Liana, did Shea hit a home run here between her rap and her final look?
I'm so sorry. I can't stop staring at her boob things that are happening right now. They were attached to the corset. It was like some weird, like, Boobs for Queen knockoff, and they look like slinkies. I'm sorry. I can't stop staring at it. I can't stop staring at that. I can't even talk about the rest of the outfit. I mean, oh my God, it's awful.
It really is awful, because I couldn't tell what was going on, and it took me, like, I had to go to Reddit to find out what was going on. I didn't understand, like, I could see that the boobs weren't moving correctly. They weren't moving how boobs should look, you know? And then you could see, like, the top of her bra strap over the corset, but it was nude, and it was basically the same color as her skin, especially in those lights. So you didn't know. It was like, well, is there supposed to be some effect here? Are we supposed to be seeing that? Because we're seeing a lot of it. Like, everything about this, I hated. I hated the lipstick. I also hated. It was that red whore lipstick. God, black lipstick would have been great here, especially with that blue hair, that electric blue hair that she apparently loves. At least it wasn't the same wig that I've seen before, but I've seen the same color before. And I don't want her to be like Charlie Hyde's, where she comes out in the blue wig all the time. The one thing that I did like about this is that her performance was so amazing. This is the point where I just know she's going to win, because it's like, she's so freaking amazing. And Todrick is like, can you do a pirouette? Yes. Can you do a double pirouette? Yes. Can you do a triple pirouette? Well, I can try. And then bitch, she goes out there and does it. It's like, who are you? Where did you come from? And then, you know, I did notice in the performance that she actually only did a double pirouette. But she still did it. And what were the other queens doing? Sasha Velour was walking from chair to chair. And this bitch is up there doing a double pirouette. So I loved the performance. I thought it was great. The outfit for the performance, I thought, was a little bit weird. She was wearing this bathing suit. I don't know if they gave them. I doubt they did, but I don't know if they gave them this outfit or if they had them. No, because Trinity was wearing her thing, so I'm sure they didn't give it to him. But again, it wasn't a good choice. I didn't think. I thought it was a little bit meh. And then the actual runway look. I'm with Liana. The boobs so distracted me, but I will critique the rest of the look and say that she was trying to give me a little bit of Beyonce at the Grammys, and it just didn't work for the occasion. I felt it was a little bit small. I would have loved to seen her come out there in an amazing evening gown. And you can call me a big old fag for that if you want, because I love my evening gowns, and that's what I want out of drag queens when I'm watching RuPaul's Drag Race. But the fact that she chose to do something like this, and this is after we saw what she did last week during the Rainbow Challenge, mm-hmm. where she really did gag everybody. She gagged everybody so much that she really didn't fit the criteria of the challenge, and they gave it to her anyway because she was that gag worthy and had the children in Harlem going, "Yes, queen," like RuPaul said. So I really wish she would have done something like that and topped herself again this time, but she just gave me like something that she would wear at the club. And I like Liana says, the boobs were just so distracting that I really couldn't with the rest of the number.
Like, what fabric are they? They're made out of fabric. They're not even like, I'm so sorry. I just really can't get over it. And then she turns and you can see her actual nipple. Like, they're not at, I just can't get past it. I'm sorry. It's so bad. It's so ugly.
I don't know. Maybe she's taking a page out of Sasha's book and is deconstructing the idea of a breast and what that truly represents in our society.
Ugh.
Well,
she can stop.
Well, what I was saying, again, I'm sort of describing the same comments that I did to Sasha here, which is, again, coming off of, you know, especially as you said, Brent, that final Village People based outfit at the end of last week, this was a little bit of a letdown. Again, if you say this is your final yes. outfit on RuPaul's Drag Race, and you provide this like black and white bustier where the top is not really connected, and you know, the Smurf wig, I'm not entirely sure if you want that to represent what Shea Coulee is. Shea has put out so many fantastic looks over the season that, you know, this doesn't really feel representative of her to me. But I will say, the look aside, I do feel like the lip sync did, though, because, man, I mean, she definitely set a challenge for herself when she's like, I'm going to try to Nicki Minaj this. Let me, like, you know, cram in 50 words a second. I mean, I'm looking at like the outlay of lyrics that they wrote for each verse on the RuPaul's Drag Race Reddit, and you can see that Shea Coulee by far has the most words. She definitely rose to the challenge, though. Unlike Trinity, I could hear everything she was saying. She had so many freaking references crammed in there. Like, you know, how much I loved Alaska saying, you know, hey, pork chop, or, you know, I'm Dorothy, you're Toto, get in the basket. She's talking about, you know, Ike and Tina Turner, and she even does something in the choreography where she does a little, like, Proud Mary thing. You've got the baseball bat diamond going on. I think Peppermint, like, killed it and had, like, the best performance, but I feel like Shea might have had, like, the best choreography in that, like, she just had so much fun stuff to do. Maybe Todrick was working more with her, as you said, Brent. You know, Todrick clearly knew she could rise to the occasion, so maybe gave her some more fun things to do. But this was definitely the performance to end it with, and just this really fantastic final line of, you know, I approve this message, and all I'm going to say is that I'm Shea Coulee, and I always, and just leaves them hanging right at the end, is just so, so much fun. I mean, again, I've been, like, throwing out so much praise for this rap, and while, yes, you know, some performances might not be as strong as others, this was just so much fun to watch, and I really hope they keep doing it. When they have Eureka O'Hara limping in at the top four in season 10, I hope they still keep doing this years down the road.
Yeah, I mean, she just executed the choreography so well. And I mean, this there is a reason why this was the order. And I think that everybody knew that Shea was just going to kill this challenge. And I mean, I think so. OK, I've finally gotten over the boob thing. But like I still think for me, she is still a front runner because she was able to execute so well and is such a professional. And I think that that speaks volumes.
Oh, yeah. Let's be real. She's the front runner by a mile. I mean, mm-hmm. like, I don't see a way that she doesn't get crowned. I mean, somebody told me that the last person who won four challenges was Sharon Needles, which actually I wasn't aware of. And they nobody won the challenge this week. I thought there was a chance that Trinity could catch her, actually. Because I feel like Trinity's her biggest competition, but I still feel like there's no way that she can't win. It's just it seems like a march to the finish line. The one thing that really that struck me the whole time was two things. The one, the fact that Shay kept saying like "crown me," which always like gives me the heebie-jeebies when people say that. But maybe that's not because I watch too much Survivor. You know, whenever people say "I ain't going home," you know they're going home. And the other thing was Trinity was giving me life. When she was like, "Oh, here comes Shay doing a triple pirouette. Yay for Shay. Whoopee." Like, I mean, I was like, "Oh my God, Trinity, I love you so much right now," because it has been a little bit best friend race. But the fact that they actually showed that confessional, I was like, "Huh, okay." So they're showing some little bit of animosity that she's basically over. That's when she joked about Tanya Harding and was like, "I'm going to need to throw some marbles out there or something to trip her up, because she's running away with this thing right now."
So let's move on to the next part. After the judges' feedback, we get these other questions that we usually get in our penultimate episode. Here's a childhood picture. Tell us, you know, what would you tell your childhood self about what's to come up in their formative years, as well as the question of what would you do why should you be crowned America's next drag superstar? Liana, any highlights from these two rounds of questioning?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say that when, you know, they were talking about themselves, it was very emotional talking to their whatever year old self. But I do have to say, there was a really weird transition from the final runway into this. Like, all of a sudden, this really loud piano music started. And it was like the musical editors from Survivor New Zealand got a hold of this episode, or they had like wheeled Todrick into the corner playing piano so loudly. So that a little bit was a little jarring. But anyway, I mean, oh my gosh, how do you not cry at Peppermint? Like, my tears were welling up in my eyes. I mean, when she was saying the thing about everything you feel on the inside is right and don't be afraid to let it out. I mean, oh my gosh. Oh, so emotional.
Yeah, I want to give props to RuPaul, because something happened in this episode that I wasn't even aware of. And this shows how, to be blunt, privileged I am as a cis person. When RuPaul was addressing Peppermint, you know, if you notice the other queen, she said, you know, to Sasha, "What would you say to your to 3-year-old Alexander? What would you say to 3-year-old Richard?" But when she was on Peppermint, she said, "What would you say to your 4-year-old self?" And Peppermint also noticed that she did not call her by her former boy name. And that's something that totally went over my head. And that is something, that's why I watch this show. I watch it for the cotton candy. I watch it for the fun and the yas queens. But I have learned things as I've watched this show over the seasons. I really have. Things that have challenged me that I would never have considered that would be something that was important to somebody who was trans, or that it was possibly offensive to bring up their former biological self, you know, and it was a real eye-opening moment. And I want to thank the show, and I want to thank RuPaul for being so careful with how they treated Peppermint and the dignity that they've given her and all the other contestants. You might contrast that with the way some other reality shows have this season on television, but we won't go there.
No, Brent, I completely agree with you. And I also feel like, I mean, I think you're also maybe speaking on behalf of the general listening audience or viewing audience as well. I know that I've talked in previous episodes about the fact that, like, it's good that they show, you know, the pulse reaction, or they show talking about the AIDS epidemic, because in the expansion to VH1, there is a contingency of people out there now who do not necessarily know gay history. And, you know, I'm trying to learn as much as I can, considering I've been brought into this world only recently. But I feel like this is another great opportunity. Like you said, it's just a subtle thing of not necessarily saying, you know, what do you want? Instead of saying, what do you want to say to little blank? It's what do you want to say to your former self? But just like acknowledging Peppermint's status and the fact that why having her on this season, even though we might clock her in some areas, but she was so, so important to have on this. And in a time where, you know, transgender status has become such a hot button issue, to have someone who is so relatable and so nice, and as a trans individual and as a person, be on this reality show. And especially, you know, it's talked about on the podcast as well, but this idea that, you know, there are some people that don't feel like the drag scene and being trans mixed. There's that horrifying comment she talks about where in the New York scene someone came up to her and said, "Well, like, I support you in your transition, but you know you're never going to get a job again." And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that's not the case. And I'm so glad the community is supportive in that perspective.
Really? Because she's not lying about that. You know, like I said, remember, I did drag for like a hot minute and I lived that scene for a while. And it, granted, it was like an eon ago. Oh, God, I'm dating myself. Save me, Liana. gay men in particular, I feel like are really ignorant when it comes to trans people because we're very macho and we want, look, I'm not macho, but we like that kind of look in a guy. And it's really hard to identify with trans because even though a lot of us are fishy and effeminate, that, you know, none of us are women. We don't identify with that gender. And so it's something that's completely foreign to me. You would think that we would be natural allies, but a lot of gay people are absolutely ignorant when it comes to trans issues. So it was so great to hear her talk on the podcast about the fact, and even in Untucked, about how she had basically was living a double life. Like the people that knew her for her drag didn't know she was trans. And the people that knew that she was trans didn't know that she did drag. And that was absolutely heartbreaking to me. And then you might think to yourself, well, she's just saying that because she's on a reality TV show. No, I totally believe her that that's what's going on because I know people who have been that way, people that have hidden the fact that they're transitioning. And I'm really glad that we're just taking a few small steps in the right direction here. The other person I wanted to bring up was Sasha, because when she was talking to her younger self, she was like, I want you to know that you're weird and you are effeminate. And I want you to know that all of those things are true.
So good.
I know, right? So good. So good. And she was just like, it really did feel like they were speaking to their younger selves. I feel like the person who maybe had the most wall up was probably a tie between Shay and Trinity. I feel like Trinity didn't go deep enough. And I also felt like Shay was, I feel like she was just saying things that sounded good. I don't feel mm-hmm. like that they really meant anything to her. Whereas with Peppermint and Sasha, and that's not a read. It's hard to come up with something in the moment. If you're not naturally feeling something, it's hard to come up with something that is honest to God, empathetic. But she did a good job, and I really enjoyed all of them.
You know, so I just want to go back to Peppermint for a hot sec,
sure.
But just as long as Brent's drag career. But anyway, so Peppermint, I think the other thing that I really loved about the way the show handled Peppermint and her story is the fact that we weren't beat over the head with it, too.
Yep. Yes.
It was we got to know her as a drag queen, and she is a kick ass drag queen. She
yes,
wears too
she
much
is.
Pink, but she's still awesome. And to get to see this really, really nice balance of still hearing her story, but to not have that be her only note, I thought was handled really well. And then also, the thing about Shay, I totally agree with you. It felt like she was just saying the things she needed to say. And then the thing about Trinity, all I have written down is OMG, that jacket. So clearly she made stood out to me.
Oh, yes. That like the Technicolor jacket that 8-year-old Ryan was wearing. And it's interesting because, you know, I know that some people have sort of knocked the serious mirror talk and like some might call them sob stories that appeared over the course of this season. But I don't know. I personally really enjoy them because as saccharine as they might come across sometimes, it really helps us get to know these queens outside of just like campy drag performers. And this is a clear example of that. You know, as much as you might take their statements at face value or not, but between this and what they were talking about on the podcast, they all come from very different backgrounds. But at one point in time, I feel like they've all felt marginalized or they felt, you know, weird or strange or just not normal. But the fact that they're able to really channel those aspects and create an entire career out of them is just something beautiful. And it's really interesting to sort of like see the gamut as well. I mean, you have individuals like Nina who, you know, unfortunately sort of have their own inner demons that are dragging them down and sort of putting up roadblocks for them. Or you have someone like Trinity who has dealt with so much strife and, you know, really sad stories in her life, but was able to channel that and numb herself up with enough Botox to the high heavens to really turn a career out of it. And it's why I always love this segment, is because you really get to see where they come from and where they are now and how everything that they've done, even though, you know, you might knock Shay saying things like, you know, I wish I could protect you, little Jane, from what you're doing, but at least it got me to where I am today. I do think that statement is true. I think no matter what they've experienced previously in their life, they're going to use those experiences to inform the lifestyle that they have now. And I had to give everyone major kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
Good said. Okay, well said, Mike.
Well, let's move into the final question. Why should you be crowned America's next drag superstar? I will say, we talked about Sasha's statement before. The one that really surprised me was Trinity. And Raja talks about it a little bit on the pit stop. But, you know, again, coming from this pageant background, you'd expect her to come out and basically say the Drag Race equivalent of world peace. But she, like, got super personal and super hungry. I mean, you have Peppermint talking about, like, taking a page from Stonewall. You have Shay talking about her commitment. And Trinity just says, like, I'm hungry for it. I have grown so much. I've never had stability in my life. I do want to pose the question to both of you. We got a real push of Trinity's growth narrative throughout this finale. Do you find it genuine? Have you really felt that Trinity has grown as a drag queen the most out of the top four from beginning to end, Liana?
No. I mean, because she's kind of shown that she can always be funny. I wouldn't say compared to some other queens, like, I don't know, like Trinity K. Bonet or somebody who I think really does embody a growth narrative. I didn't quite see that in Trinity, so I don't know exactly what they were talking about. I mean, maybe one of y'all can correct me or show me what I missed.
Well, I mean, I think that it's a little bit like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Like, I think she could do this all the time, but maybe she didn't realize it. She didn't really realize how funny she was. She didn't realize that she could do some of these challenges. I mean, I guarantee you, she's probably never had to come out and roast somebody before. And the fact that, you know, I remember she was in the bottom three for that challenge. But nevertheless, she came out and she did it. And the things that she's had to do in this competition, the various challenges that she's had to meet, she's done it like a complete professional the entire time, and many times has surprised me with how funny she is. And I just didn't expect, you expect her, you know, you hear her in the confessionals, she's so damn serious. She's like, look, you know, it's so funny. I'm always looking at my watch because every three episodes, Trinity's like, okay, I gotta get a win. Gotta get a win. You know, where's my wish? It's like she needs her fix. Okay. But she's just so able to surprise me because she has this veneer in the confessionals, especially, but also in the workroom, of somebody who is just a hungry bitch for this competition. Mm-hmm. She wants to win. And I loved in her final thing that she said to RuPaul, I deserve this. I love hearing queens say that. It's very hard to say, I deserve this sometimes. A lot of people don't think they deserve to win. And I really love the fact that she, honest to God, does believe that she deserves to win. But everything about her is just something that makes me smile, because she gives me the shade. You know, remember, I've talked about this previously in our podcast. I like my drag queens a little bit extra, and she gives me all the extraness that I need, combined with all of the talent and the look. I mean, when you have all those three things, I mean, to me, it's a wonder that she's not the front winner. And that just tells me how good Shay is, that Trinity is not the front winner, because Trinity is freaking amazing.
I mean, I completely agree with that. And I don't see that as growth. I mean, I think she's had that the whole time. She clearly has a sense of humor. She has since she was little. We saw a picture of her in that jacket. So
yeah,
I
know, bitch. Look, it's a point of view. Like they're trying hard, you know. It was like a Michelle Visage when she was trying to spell out C-U-T-N.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what I wanted to ask about. What did you think about Michelle attributing each one of these traits to the queens? Did some work better than others? Did that work for you in general, Brent?
It worked for me up until she got to the last two. She should have switched nerve and talent. I mean, not that Trinity isn't talented, and not that Shay doesn't have nerve, but I feel like nerve is what Trinity has. She has, you know, that chutzpah to just go out there and get it. She gets it done. And whereas I feel like Shay has talent coming out her asshole. You know, like she come, like I said, that triple pirouette that she did. I mean, come on. Like she absolutely tore the house down during this performance. She won last week when she really shouldn't have won. I mean, she's won four challenges. I mean, to me, she's just oozing talent. You know, I feel like nerve is the thing that she has the least of, because the thing that I've always clocked about Shay is that I want her to be a little extra, and I don't really feel like that equates to nerve, but you know, whatever. Michelle's trying to make a word, whatever. It's fine.
Well, at least they didn't have Peppermint for Unique. Like, at least Sasha wasn't first and Peppermint was second.
Right.
Because then it just all would have been out of line.
I wonder if they would, like, purposely, like, shuffle them around like they were doing, like, the Jingleheimer Junction from the SNL sketch to try to spell out a word. But after the questioning and the judges' critiques, we finish with a lip sync to You Wear It Well. Either one of you, any sort of things to remark from this lip sync? It's always tough to have the final four lip sync because there's just so much going on at once. You feel like Carson looking at the birds and the men, and that, like, there's just too much to pay attention to that really nothing stuck out to me.
The only thing that stuck out to me was, I'm sure, Liana, you saw this, Shay just kept walking back and forth on the runway. That's all she did.
Yeah. And she was in the background of every shot. But, like, I didn't get any shots of her. She, like, kept walking too far away.
She would walk to the back, and then she would walk down the runway on the beat, and then she'd walk to the back and walk down the runway on the beat. And that's what she did.
Yeah. And the other two, like, Sasha was, again, on brand. She was doing her claws and crazy eyes, and Peppermint was, you know, doing her work thing. But, yeah, nothing really, like, stood out to me. But I think that that's more of, like, a symbol than it really is anything significant. As we talked about before, it gets revealed that nobody is eliminated. They all give an amen, a whoop whoop, but she done already had hers is. We have four queens in the finale, but the question is, who is going to win? I know we tried to call our shot last week, but now I really want us to call our shot, knowing that the finale is in two weeks. Can we go down the line? Give me your predictions from 4 to 1 of how these final four are going to finish ultimately in RuPaul's Drag Race season 9. Liana, let's start with you.
I mean, I still want to go with Slay Kule. I think she's been killing it this entire season. And yeah, this episode really wasn't her best. I think there are others that stood out for me, but I still think she's got the resume. I think that Rue really likes her, always laughs at the things that she says, and we know that that's so important. So I think I'm going to go with Shay.
Okay. Do you have any other guesses? I mean, I have no idea, since this is unprecedented, if we're going to have, like, someone's eliminated in fourth place or someone's going to be eliminated in third place. But if you could do a ranking of the other three, who would finish 2 through 4 for you?
Oh, see, I think originally before this episode, I would have said Shay, Trinity, Sasha, Peppermint. But I think what Sasha said to Rue about to look to the future, right, and expectations of drag, I think that we could see Sasha in second place. So I actually am going to go with Shay, Sasha, Trinity, Peppermint.
Okay, Brent, what about you? What's your 1 through 4?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to co-sign that. I don't see any way that Shay loses this, like I said previously. I mean, how can she lose? She's just so amazing, so freaking talented. She's won so many challenges. I feel like, I mean, how can Rue not crown her at this point? She just is America's Next Drag Superstar. She's just so great at everything. I do agree with Liana about what she said about Sasha. It's pretty much a tie for me between, and I hate to say that, but it's a tie. It's Shay, then Trinity.
Don't defense her 10.
I know, right? Trinity and Sasha are tied at 2. I really do feel like they're right there close to each other. And I'm trying to remove my bias because I'm very biased towards Trinity. I love her. She just gives me everything I want in a drag queen. I will admit that I felt like this episode that I feel like there was a bit of a wall. And I don't know if everybody agrees with me on this, but I would have liked her to just, and I know it's hard to do it on cue, but to just get a little bit more deep within herself. And I know she talked about her grandparents and how hard it was, but I felt like she was more telling a story. I don't feel like she was relating it to us. So that might have hurt her a little bit. But if she comes out there and absolutely wows at the finale, she might get her nose across the finish line. I think Peppermint's amazing, but I don't see any way that she could win. I mean, she's barely hung on. Again, I thought she was going to be eliminated in this episode, but she pulled out all the stops and happened to have a challenge that wasn't a video-making challenge, but instead was something performing her own lip sync, which, of course, she's really good, really, really good at. So, I think it was a bit of an anomaly, but I'm positive. I mean, here's the thing. They're not going to announce a fourth place, I don't think. I mean, they've never done this before, but I think that would be really rude for them to do that.
Yeah.
But I have to believe fourth place is going to be Peppermint. Shay's going to take it.
Well, I wonder as well, because the other thing on top of having four people in the finale is that we've never had, you know, like a separate reunion show before the finale, right? Usually, with the exception of like when you've pre-filmed them like All Stars 2, they're usually in one. It's usually like, okay, like we'll reveal who's America's Next Drag Superstar later on the show, but first let's go to Nina Bonina Brown and let's have a segment to talk about that. It's sort of like everything in one. now that they're separated out, I'm not entirely sure how they're going to fill that hour. It's a big question mark. So maybe they sort of do a thing where they're like, all right, let's start, you know, letting Queens go by one. That might make it a nightmare for production, considering that we do know they film multiple endings. So that would mean they would need to film like so many different versions. It's like Clue almost, and all the different endings they need to film to make sure that nobody leaks it. But I don't know, maybe they'll do something different. I totally agree with what you both said about how Shay is just like such a front runner, and she's really proven herself to be the person to be throughout the entire course of this competition. Even though, you know, her last look might have landed with a thud, she has been soaring the previous 13 weeks or 12 weeks. That being said, for fun, why not? I'll put Trinity number one just to diversify it a little bit. I think that them really harping on the growth narrative might bode well for her. I mean, we've had that from time to time. I know we've had, Liana, you mentioned, you know, your Trinity K. Bonet. We've had Pearl. We've had Adore Delano. We've had other cases of people who have grown and not necessarily win. But if there's one person to pull it out, it's Trinity, or maybe keep it tucked away. And then I'll just go Shay number two, Sasha number three, and then we'll go Peppermint number four. So those are our thoughts about what's to come in the next couple weeks. Either of you have any predictions as to what may be talked about on the Reunited show next week?
Well, I'm sure they're going to talk about Valentina's mask fiasco. They're probably going to hit Nina for what was up with you the entire time. Why didn't you, you know, why were you a Debbie Downer the entire time? Because that's how Nina addressed herself, was Debbie Downer. Debbie Downer is gone. You don't have to worry about her no more, when she left and wrote that message on the mirror. I'm sure they're going to talk to Eureka to find out how she's doing. They're probably going to talk to Cynthia about what it was like to come back. They're probably going to talk with James Mansfield about how, you know, he thought he was something. And he was. The funny part is, I watched James's videos, and he was so professional and so fun during his videos. And then he comes on the show, and he looks like a fish out of water. So I think they'll probably talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be like also sort of a clip show or like unseen footage or something like that. I don't know where I read that, but that could be it.
Well, I know. Here's the thing about, just so you guys know about the reunion. They taped the finale, and of course they always tape multiple endings. But then they do the finale the next day. They're taping the finale the next day. So I think the finale taped on Friday. The reunion taped on Saturday. So that was yesterday. So they've already done the finale. They don't know who the winner is, but they've done the finale by that point. So that's interesting that they're going to have to go into a reunion after having done the finale the previous night.
I also heard that Miss Congeniality was going to be revealed on the reunion show instead of the finale, which I think is where we sort of got the June 16th date in our head to begin with, because they said, vote for Miss Congeniality. It will be revealed on June 16th.
Right.
So I guess, again, to sort of, again, parse things out from what they usually do, they'll do that stuff and then they'll announce Miss Congeniality. Just to finish things off, do we have a pick for Miss Congeniality? It's got to be Valentina, right?
It's got to be Valentina. Her fans are just total. So. They are total stans. By the way, I follow Shea Coulee on Instagram, and she posted a picture of a fortune cookie that said, "You will come into a large sum of money from an unexpected source soon." And she, and the caption was, so I'm like, okay, girl, we get it, you got it, we get it.
That's funny.
And I'm also looking at, you know, we usually do the RuPaul's, hey, sound off, you know, and let us know.
Oh, what, yes. Sorry, can I rant about that? Sorry,
oh,
I don't mean
do,
to.
Yeah.
I'm so mad. Like, bitch, where were you during All Stars 2? We tweeted you. It was 70% Team Katya, and your ass still crowned Alaska. So shove those up your, you know what? Seriously, I can't even with her anymore. RuPaul telling me, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to your hashtags. Where were you last time? We done told you we wanted Katya to win. Girl, bye.
Do we know? Do we have any? I'm looking at the RuPaul's Drag Race Twitter account right now. It looks like, just doing a quick scan of things, oh yes, Sasha Velour is out to a commanding lead. And granted, this will all amount to a hill of beans at the end of the day, but Sasha has like 15,500 retweets, and the next highest is Shay, who has like 6,000 retweets. So if that's any indicator...
Like the Sasha people are really snobby, and they're like really, really stanny about it too. So Sasha and Valentina... I feel like are the worst when it comes to stuff like that. No Tino shade, but yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, we'll be back, social media consensus or not. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to see who will be crowned America's next drag superstar as the final four take on the finale. And like I said before, if there's anything noteworthy from the reunited segment next week, including the crowning of Miss Congeniality, I'm sure we will talk about that. For now, if you have any thoughts about this episode or who you think might become America's next drag superstar, you can always reach out to us. Feel free to leave a comment on Rob Has a Website in this post. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. Liana is at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. Liana, I know you were on a Survivor podcast this past week, taking on Survivor's listener-submitted hot takes. Is that right?
Yes, I did. And you know that what did Pheromone say, that you have to have talent to judge a talent competition? I do not have hot takes, but I got to judge a hot take competition anyway.
Oh boy. I'm green with envy that you got to participate in that podcast, and I didn't just paint myself to do that. You can follow Brent Wolgamott at One Lucky Gay, O-N-E Lucky Gay. Brent, I know right after we're recording this, you're hopping onto a live Big Brother podcast. Is that right?
Yes, hopping onto a live Big Brother podcast. We had cast our own version of Big Brother Game Changers. By the way, I just wanted to quickly bring up that, you know, talking about this voting kind of thing, you know, poor Liana, she finished in third place in the So You Think You Can podcast voting. You know, Liana, you're like Trinity. You know, you get better with age here. You know, we appreciate you as time goes on, because I remember initially with Trinity, we dismissed her. Like, she was like, who is that? We thought she was like a filler queen. Like, I thought she'd be out in three episodes. Little did I know she would quickly become my favorite. And Liana, you have as well, I must say.
I'm sickening, but I can still grow.
Yes, exactly.
No, we are so happy to have both Liana and Brent on this podcast. Fantastic job throughout the season, as always. We still got one more in the tank. You can always follow me at a Mike Bloom type as well to give us your thoughts about everything about RuPaul's Drag Race season 9. If you're not already, even though we're finishing the season up, make sure you're subscribed to our RuPaul's Drag Race only feed. Just look up RuPaul's Drag Race season 9 in the iTunes store. And if you're there, if you want to leave a rating and review, that would be fantastic. We are so grateful for all the feedback that we've received so far. So thank you so much of that. And make sure you subscribe to the general reality TV wrap-ups feed, where you get coverage of The Bachelorette, some of the Big Brother stuff that Brent's doing, and a whole lot more. So make sure you're subscribed. RobHasAWebsite.com/wrap-ups, R-H-A-P-U-P-S. To finish things off, do we have a hashtag here for people who made it to the end of this pre-finale podcast?
The only thing that's popping into my head is Pastel City.
That's the one I had as well.
Okay.
I don't know, because I think that's where the Stepford Wives live. I don't know.
I think Pastel City absolutely works in honor of our new revelations, perhaps, about an outfit that we clocked Shay on last week. So, Brent, Liana, fantastic work as always. Thank you so much for being on. Thank you so much out there for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks as we break down the results of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9. For now, sashay away. Bye!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.